Hello and welcome to the current message series of our pastor, Dr. David Hamilton from West Heights Baptist Church, Pontotoc, Mississippi, where our mission is to love God and to serve people. Now, let's listen into this week's message.
Thank you, Brother Craig. And do want to pray for Brother Craig and Dory and Maley. He will be taking his sabbatical through the month of January back, 10 years ago now, maybe? You decided as a church that you needed a break from us every 5 years, and it's time for your break from Craig. But he prayed for them. He'll be going to visit some other churches, not in view of a call, but just to visit and relax during this time. And so pray that they'll have a good month off and come back ready to go to work. You'll take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 24. I want to talk today about preparing for the new year, how to prepare and getting prepared for the new year. Next Sunday, we will start back in the book of Acts. We didn't finish Acts. We got through chapter 17, and we'll pick up next Sunday in chapter 18 and finish out Acts over January and February and maybe March and April, whatever we need to do. But we'll continue that then. I hope you'll take time, though. Please look at the bulletin. Sam Ivey will be preaching for us at the end of D-Now. We always look forward to Sam being with us and look forward to what God has in store for the coming year. But let me begin reading in Joshua chapter 24. I'll begin reading in verse 14 and read through verse 25. It's familiar passage to you. You've read this, and I know you've heard sermons on it. But in verse 14, Joshua is giving his final challenge, his final sermon, along with his final challenge to the people of Israel before he dies. He even tells them earlier, he said, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth." And he gives them this challenge. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us out, brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do to you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore," he said, "put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Please press it on our hearts today. And Father, may we covenant with you as your children did, that say this, God, that we're going to serve you. That we're going to turn away from the idols and the gods of this world, and we're going to serve you. And God, we're going to honor you. We're going to worship you. And God, we covenant to dedicate this new year to you and our lives to you. Lord, use this time for your own glory. In Christ's name, amen. The book of Joshua really is about new beginnings. It was a time of new beginning for the children of Israel as they crossed over the Jordan River and took possession of the promised land after they had wandered around in the wilderness for some 40 years. Only two of that original group would enter the promised land, and that would be Joshua and Caleb. The rest died in the wilderness. And so as we come to the end of 2025 and begin 2026, I think there's no greater text that we could look at today than this one in Joshua. Joshua had faithfully led the people of God through some difficult and challenging times. And now he stands before the people and he delivers to them his final sermon and his final challenge before he dies. Max Lucado said the book of Joshua is a book of battles. It's a book for soldiers, a book for people who would dare win God's way. What applied to them applies to us today. It is the faithful who conquer. Those who follow the strategy win. Those who don't, don't. I wonder if maybe Paul was thinking of Joshua when he wrote these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. When he says to Timothy, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And he said, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And so we're reminded that the Christian life, and you and I see this more and more maybe today than ever before in our lifetime, that we really are in a battle. It is a spiritual warfare that we're involved in. We're reminded that our heavenly Joshua, Jesus, will lead us if we're faithful to him. As we begin this morning, I want us to do a quick overview of the book of Joshua. And really, Joshua can be broke down into three major sections. Chapters 1 through 12 would begin this. These chapters deal with the conquest of the land of Israel. This section includes the Lord's challenge to Joshua in chapter 1, where God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant's dead," and he tells Joshua, "You're going to be with the leader of this group." He said, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you." There's the crossing of the Jordan River, the taking of the city of Jericho when the walls came crashing down. There is in this first section the account of the sin of a man by the name of Achan who brought destruction and death on the entire nation. There was the account of the southern campaign and then the northern campaign. Then we have the second section, which covers Joshua chapters 13 to 22. This details the division of the land, and it's in that part of Joshua where Caleb, who's in his 80s now, says, "I want that mountain." He said, "I want Hebron. That's the place God promised me." And it was not an easy place. But this senior adult named Caleb said, if God is with me, I can take it." And he did. So this final section is his challenge to call the people in chapters 23 to 24 is the breakdown of the final section. It's his final challenge and the people's call to obedience and faith. In chapter 23, he calls the people together for this final message. He tells them that his time has come and that he's about to die. Look in chapter 23, verse 14 and verse 15. Back up a chapter. He said, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." Verse 13 says, "Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So he reminds them that he is about to die. And one thing we're reminded of, Charles Swindoll said, men of God die, but God never dies. And so Joshua is about, like Moses, to die. And we look in chapter 24, verses 1 through 13. We won't read all of those verses, but it's Joshua reminding the people of Israel of how God had been faithful to them all the way. He had led them. He had taken care of all their needs. He had fed them in the wilderness. He had defeated their enemies. He said, I'm bringing you into a good land, and you're going to eat from vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. And he reminds them of all that God has done for them. And we need to be reminded from time to time, do we not, of the things that God has done for us in our lives? Maybe you can look back on this last year or this year that we're about to leave and look back through the year and see where God has been faithful to you over and over and over again. David Jeremiah, in his study Bible, some of you I know use that, but he had said Joshua had a message. It's in one section of his Bible. He said Joshua had a message for the people, his final public statement before his death, at 110. He knew the people needed to hear this from him as their leader. And he said in this stirring and heartfelt message, number one, he caused them to remember what God had done for them. This past Wednesday night was a great night as we had our Christmas Eve service. We observed the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper is a time to remind us of what Christ did for us on the cross. And so Joshua caused them to remember what God had done for them and how he had reminded them that it was not about what he had done, what he, Joshua, had done, but what God had done. Secondly, he called them to serve God and to serve him only. And Jeremiah said, every day as believers, we are confronted with plenty of alternatives, and we must continually choose to serve God. You and I will be faced this next year with opportunity after opportunity, some good, some not. But we're going to choose, as the children of Israel did, we're going to say, I choose to serve the Lord. And then thirdly, he confirmed the renewal of their covenant with God. And he placed a stone as a memorial because a covenant and a commitment before God means something. It needs to be remembered. Wedding vows or a covenant. We need to remember those from time to time. People will renew their vows as a reminder. And every person must choose each day whom he or she will serve. If we're going to serve God, then we must serve him wholeheartedly, in sincerity, and in truth. So let me give you just three or four things. That was introduction. Number one, the challenge to choose. Look at verse 14 and verse 15. He says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Then he makes a declaration. He says, serve the Lord. It's an imperative. You must serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Because Joshua knew them as well as you and I know us, that we're going to serve someone or something. He said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You and I make choices every day. You've made a number of choices today already. Some were, you chose to come to church. You chose what you were going to wear today. I mean, you made choices. And some choices we make are pretty insignificant. Others life-altering. But the most important decision anyone will ever make is concerning one's relationship with God. And Joshua had reminded them of God's faithfulness and the fact that he was about to die. And he said, now you've got to make a choice. And he gave them three or four things. Number one, he said, fear the Lord. It means to have a reverence for the Lord. It is to recognize that he is God and I am not. You are not. He is the Lord. Fear the Lord. Secondly, he said, serve the Lord. Serve him. Thirdly, put away false gods. Put away the gods that our forefathers served among the peoples. And then he said that we must choose. It's a necessary choice. It's a choice that every individual must make. I can't make that decision for you. I can't make the decision for you to give your life to Christ. You can't make the decision for me. It is a necessary choice. Choose. And you understand that Joshua is not just making a simple request. There's no neutral ground. You either follow Christ or you don't. You can't be what we used to say. You can't straddle the fence. You can't be part in and part out. Joshua is saying, this is what you've got to do. You can't serve both the gods of the Amorites and the true God. You've got to choose. It would be like today. You choose the gods of this world, or you choose to serve Christ. It's a necessary choice. It's also a personal choice. You choose. To choose to follow Christ is a personal decision. No one can make that decision for you. You as a parent can't make that decision for your children. You can lead them. And we do. We pray we do. That's why Joshua would say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You lead them in the right direction. You pray they will make the right choice. But it all comes down to a personal choice. And then it's an urgent choice. Joshua says, choose this day. I think if we had been there that day, and if we were listening to Joshua's appeal, we would have sensed a note of urgency in his voice. Solomon understood this need for urgency. Proverbs 27 verse 1, Solomon says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. 2 Corinthians 6 2, Paul writes, at the acceptable time I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on the urgency of now. Someone said, tomorrow is the devil's word, today's God's word. You don't put off till tomorrow what God says to do today. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, tells a legend. He says, there's a legend about Satan and his demons planning their strategy for attacking the world and those hearing the message of salvation. And Satan said to his demons, who will I send? One of the demons said, I've got the plan, Master. When I get on earth and take charge of people's thinking, I'll tell them there's no heaven. The devil responds, they'll never believe that. This book of truth is full of messages about the hope of heaven through sins forgiven. They won't believe that. They know there's a glory yet future. On the other side of the room, another demon says, I've got the plan. I'll tell them there's no hell. Again, Satan said, no good. Jesus, while he was on earth, talked more about hell than he did of heaven. They know in their hearts they're wrong and will have to be taken care of in some way. They deserve nothing more than hell. And one brilliant little demon in the back stood up and said, then I know the answer. I'll just tell them there's no hurry. And he's the one Satan chose. There is a hurry. There is urgency. We must choose. Maybe today God's speaking to your heart. And you say, well, I'll wait till next week or till I'm older or whatever. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. But then for Joshua, it's also a family choice. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though Joshua could not make his family's personal choice to follow God, he could say, as the head of the family, I will lead them in serving the Lord. We just commissioned Brother Kevin to be a mentor father and fathers in the field. It's an opportunity for us to help. And there's a challenge to you men here today, you Christian men today, to say as we enter this new year, I'm going to, as the head of my house, I'm going to lead my family in serving the Lord. I'm going to lead them in worship. I'm not going to send them to church. I'm going to lead them and go to them with them to church. I'm going to be the godly man that God has called me to be. And you as a dad today, you as a husband today, you as a man today can say, as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. I don't care what anybody else does, but I'm going to serve the Lord. And we're going to serve the Lord. And you lead your family in choosing to serve Him. And then for Joshua, it was a public choice. Joshua was standing before the entire congregation and he was saying to them, you choose. He was calling on the people to make a public choice. Maybe that's what some of you need to do today. Maybe as we move toward the time of commitment, some of you need to come and say, I want to make a choice today. I want to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to honor Him. We're going to follow Him, and we're going to make it public. So there was that call to choose. Secondly, there was a call to commitment. And we see that as we move over to verses 22 to 25. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve. In His voice, we will obey. And so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua led the people to make a commitment, to make a covenant with God. As we begin this new year, would you make a new covenant? Or maybe for you, it would be a new commitment to God to walk in obedience to Him this next year. Three or four things. Number one, recognize the things you need to put away. Joshua said in verse 23, therefore put away the foreign gods. Put away the gods of this world. Put away those things that are vying for your attention and your affection. Put away those things that would pull you from your commitment to Christ. What are the false gods that you need to put away in your life? What are the things that you serve more than you serve God? What are the priorities in your life that need to be reordered? Listen to verse 23 in the Message paraphrase. Joshua said, now get rid of all the foreign gods you have with you. Say an unqualified yes to God, the God of Israel. And so for the children of Israel, it was the gods of the Hivites and the Amorites and the Hittites and all those others. So here's the question. What do you need to put away today? What is it in your life that you are giving your attention to more than you're giving your attention and affection to God? In Ephesians 4:25, Paul writes, therefore, putting away. He tells us some of the things we ought to put away. Putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that you may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, listen to what he says, let all of these things be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we put away those things. What do you need to put away? Secondly, turn your heart to God. Look at verse 23. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. The Holman Christian Standard Version says, offer your heart to God. In Psalm 139, verse 23, David prayed and said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That was a bold prayer for David to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. That might be a good prayer for you and I to pray as we come to this last Sunday of 2025. God, search me and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. David was saying, "Lord, whatever you find there, reveal it to me, and I'll put it away." So maybe you need to ask some tough questions. Like, do I need to seek forgiveness for someone I've hurt? Do I need to forgive someone who hurt me? Are there any sinful habits I need to quit? Are there any unsurrendered areas of my life? And then choose to serve and obey the Lord. He says that in verse 24. So as we begin this new year, ask God to show you ways that you can serve Him. What areas of ministry do you need to be involved in? You can go to our prayer list, and there's a list of things that people in our church are involved in, inside and outside the church. Some of you, maybe God's calling you to be involved in Fathers in the Field. Maybe some are being called to help with the jail ministry. Maybe some are being called to help with the food pantry or the food depot or Arbana across the street with us. I mean, you can, and there's a list of things. God, what is it? What ministry or ministries do I need to be involved in this new year? And then lastly, make a commitment, a covenant with the Lord. Look at verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and he made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. He challenged Israel to make a covenant that they would follow through with their commitment to the Lord. A covenant is a solemn promise. It's not like a New Year's resolution. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? You say, well, it's not the 31st yet. I mean, the statistics show us that for people who make New Year's resolutions, we've already broken by the end of January 2nd. But a covenant is far deeper than that. We go into New Year's with resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to start exercising. And we think about all those things we're going to do to make life better for us. But a covenant's far more serious than that. It's a covenant, a promise to God for our good. If you're not a Christian today, choose today to give your life to Christ. You are a Christian, then ask God to search your heart and put away those things that are offensive to Him and choose you this day whom you will serve. Let's pray together. Father, you know our hearts. You know our lives. Lord, like the children of Israel as they stood there on the threshold of Joshua's death, Lord, it was a time for them to make a decision, to make some commitments, to make a covenant with you. And Lord, like them, we don't always keep our covenants with you, our commitments. But Lord, today, could we do that in our hearts? Did we say to you today, Lord, as David did long ago, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. And God, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Or maybe there are some of us here today that our prayer to you would be like that of Joshua of old. Today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's not easy. And God, we certainly know in our world it's not popular to take a stand for Christ. God, I think we're seeing it more and more where those who take a stand for Christ are persecuted or ridiculed. But Lord, we know it's best. God, I pray that you'll lead us in these moments that we call invitation. God, may your will be done. And God, may we honor you in our decisions. And we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
We're glad you joined us today. If you'd like further information about how to become a Christian, how to live the Christian life, or more information about West Heights Baptist Church, visit our website at westheightsbaptist.org.